Good evening. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Again, I'm taking the opportunity when I get the privilege to come up front for you folks to preach out of the first and second letters that were penned by Paul through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because these letters remind me a lot, as I said, over the last several months of this congregation in many ways. It's a strong congregation. It's got a couple of issues to work on, but overall they're doing a great job. And so, again, like I said, it just makes me think of us and you guys in particular. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 8. We're going to go through verse 11. We're really going to look at verse 11. Verse 8, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I guess I probably should get my readers on so I can see this. Okay. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. Let's go to God in prayer. Eternal Father, our Prince of Peace, our mighty God, we are thankful for you, Lord Jesus Christ. We are thankful for the plan that was put in place before the very creation and foundation of this world, the physical things, to bring you in and to help bring us back into fellowship with you. So thankful for all that you've done, the execution of the plan flawlessly, and that you have made a way available for all who are of the truth to come into your presence and to have that real hope, that security of knowing that we are not bound for wrath, but you have destined us to obtain salvation, and that is through you, Lord Jesus. So we are grateful for that. But I know that in this world, as we've read about the Thessalonians, they have undergone persecution, opposition, and it's really being ratcheted up now in the United States of America, this land in which we live and dwell in the physical sense. So, Father, I see this letter as being a tremendous encouragement to all kinds of peoples from the time that you brought forth yourself in the person of Jesus of Nazareth up until our day. Everybody's had to undergo some kind of persecution or opposition or threat of it, and they had to learn how to remain steadfast and true and understand that you were doing everything and destined all of us that were in Christ for salvation. So I'm thankful for that. I pray that tonight the message that I will bring will be one that will first and foremost bring you glory and Father, be true to the Scripture. And in so doing, I know that my brothers and sisters in Christ should be edified, should be built up, and should be further equipped. And Father, they should be encouraged. So grateful for the opportunity to do this. Pray that you'll help me to present this message in such a manner. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty, so Thessalonica, however you want to look at this. I'm not going to talk a lot about other than that it still amazes me, if you read closely in the book of Acts, Paul was there for 3 weeks, approximately. And this church takes off and gets going. Then he sent Timothy back to check on him. But really, they took off in a short period of time under Paul's initial tutelage and Timothy's assistance. And they stood in the face of tremendous persecution and opposition. So it's a real encouragement to me personally that there is the ability within the individual with limited exposure to, let's just say, a great teacher like the Apostle Paul, to be able to get the foundational elements in place and then stand. That's really an encouragement to me. Really, really much of an encouragement to me. Josh talked about, you know, the theme today being, you know, government, you know, and earthly government not being something you can really put your hope in or trust, or, you know, a lot of great things have been said about government that doesn't operate in accordance with God's word. You know, there's not a lot of hope there. You know, and so he talked about taxes, and so tonight I want to deliver a message about encouragement. You know, he talked about government, talked about taxes. You know, you need some encouragement, don't you? I mean, when you get ready to send that 1040 in or whatever, you know, some of you may need a lot of encouragement. Maybe you just need courage. I don't know, but anyway, we'll talk a little bit about encouragement tonight. But again, you know, the Thessalonican church, there was messages, letters, words going on saying that Christ had come back, and these guys figured, how'd we miss this? You know, so you could imagine they're going, well, if we missed him coming back, then we're in trouble. You know, you can see why there's all this discussion that Paul's having about, no, you didn't miss it, you're fine, or you're going to be okay, he didn't destine you for wrath, you're destined for salvation. He's been talking about sanctification of their bodies, and sanctification of their character, all these things he's been working on. So you can see that they would be concerned, you know, hey, there's warnings about, you know, we need to sanctify ourselves, do all these things that would help us to walk in a manner to be pleasing to God. And, you know, so there's this warning that's being issued in letters to the Thessalonians, but, you know, that, hey, don't fall into this trap, even though this opposition persecution is coming. Don't fall away. So there'd be a little bit of concern about that occurring and falling under God's wrath. You know, because, you know, second letter to Thessalonians talks about God's going to come, you know, he's going to lay forth his wrath, right, on those who do not know him and those who do not obey him. So there's this idea they got to obey. But there's the one thing that's really confusing to the Thessalonians is that somehow they miss the coming of Jesus, you know, his return. You say, no, you're not going to miss him. So earlier in chapter 4, he says, look, you know, he's going to take those that are asleep in Christ. By the way, that's terminology that applies to Christians. Christians are asleep. They're not dead. They're asleep. Jesus said, even if you die, you shall not, right? You shall live. You passed out of death into life, right? So we're just considered asleep, you know, until the resurrection. But, so that's terminology for Christians that have died. So whether we're awake or we're asleep, you know, you're not going to miss him, right? He says, so they're going to rise first, and then those of us who are alive and remain, we'll rise and we'll meet the Lord in the air. Okay? Everything good, guys? He says, all right. You know? And he goes on and talks some more in 1 Thessalonians 5. And he gets down here and he's talking about, you know, you got to be sober. There's some things you got to do as you're waiting for the return of Christ. And so he says, he's thinking for them, okay, so how are you guys going to be able to stand in the face of this persecution, this opposition? Right? How are you going to be able to do this? So he says, you know, you're going to have to be sober. He gives us some things that he lays out here. But he gets down to what I want to talk about. You know, he talks about, you know, having put on the breastplate of faith and love. I find that interesting. Breastplate here is called faith and love. Kind of cool, right? And then the helmet, hope of salvation. That jives with Ephesians, right? What's related there? And he says, you haven't been destined for wrath, but obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he died for us. Now he says, now therefore, so you don't end up under the wrath side, but you obtain this salvation that you're destined for. Here's some things you can do to help make sure you make it. Very simple. Encourage one another, build up one another, just as you are also doing. Brother, I just want to tell you, there's two things that the devil early on has used effectively to attack God's people from the garden on. And it's doubt and discouragement. Those two. You know, he said, if we eat of it, the day we eat it, we surely shall die. You surely shall not die. Really? Doubt. Right? And then the rest of the things, you read the rest of the scripture, man, it's discouragement. He's working on discouraging you at every opportunity. In so many methods that he can use to discourage you. So those are his two primary tools, and they've been effective throughout the time of humanity upon earth here. And so he hasn't had to change things much. So all you got to do is create doubt and create discouragement. And he can get a lot of people off the path and back towards him. So Paul is saying, you need to be encouraged. You need to be encouraged. And you need to encourage one another and build up one another just as you also are doing. So they're doing it, but just like everything else in the book where he says excel yet still more, he's kind of working on this with them too. You need to excel yet still more. Brethren, those days are coming for us where somebody's going to stand up here and all this stuff's come home and it's hit and all this persecution opposition is running. Maybe we're operating underground in somebody's basement at this point. Somebody's going to have to come up front and read this, say, if we still have our Bibles, if they haven't confiscated those. All right. Look, remember what Paul said to the Thessalonican church. Encourage one another, build up one another, just as you also are doing. But we need to excel yet still more. Right? So, this word, encourage, is a very familiar word to many of us. It comes from the word parakaleo. And that's the word that is also used, the noun form, that Jesus talks about in reference to the Holy Spirit. Parakaleo means just along, you know, call with, you know, call along, and then kaleo is to call, so you call alongside. So it would be designed that you would come alongside or call alongside somebody, and it was a means of encouraging them, comforting them, strengthening them, aiding them, okay, helping to lead them in the way they need to go. Right, so that's kind of the main thrust of that word, but it also is translated many times in the New Testament. It's used about 150 times or so in the New Testament, the forms of it. It's also translated a lot as we urge you, we exhort you. See, we think of parakaleo, the parakletos, which is the word that is used to describe the Holy Spirit. In the King James, calls him the Comforter. In the New American Standard, we read the Helper. See? So, there's this idea that he's a helper, he's a comforter, he's called alongside. So, but we have this idea that it's always about just help, but again, I want you to understand it's kind of two-pronged. It's got this idea of a positive, but it's also got some warnings in it. I urge you. A lot of times when you read that, he's going to talk about something that's important that they do. A little bit of a warning or an admonition. So, kind of a two-pronged usage of this word, all right? And in this verse here, in verse 11 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, therefore encourage one another. In the Greek, it's a command. This is not an optional. This is a command. Therefore encourage one another. So the assumption is you're going to be doing it, right? Not, well, I think I might, or maybe I will, or it's an on again. It's a command, and it's continuous action in the Greek. It means this is ongoing. It doesn't stop. See? So, we have to be encouraging one another. It's really, really important. And it's ongoing, what we need to do. It's used 10 times, this form of the word, in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians alone. I'm not going to go through all of them. But it's used 10 times. Right? So it's a command that you're supposed to make a habit of doing this. When it's continuous action, in the Greek it says, make this a habit. Well, we can take a look at our own lives and when we're getting ready to do something. And how many naysayers do you have in your life versus those that encourage you? You know? The Broncos this year. Yeah. Yeah. You know. How many thought they were going to the Super Bowl? Maybe a few on that team. You know. How many thought the Jaguars had a chance today playing New England? They gave that game away. They should have beat them. They should have. But what I'm saying is that how many people told the Jaguars, yeah! You're going to beat them! Didn't overwhelmingly the media says, go ahead and show up, you got no chance. But there was a group, probably all in Jacksonville, you can do this! Right? So I'm just using that as an analogy. Satan's out there in the world saying, you ain't got a chance! And the Lord and the faithful in the church are saying, you can do this! Yeah, you can do it! See, who are you going to believe? when it comes down to it. Talked about the Holy Spirit. You know, He's the original encourager that was called alongside, right? It's His name. When He was called alongside to comfort, I told you in the King James, they call Him the Comforter. I told you the definition of that word is to comfort or encourage, to strengthen. Oh, what does Ephesians 3:16 say? Strengthened through His Spirit in the inner man. And then Romans 8 says He leads us. You know, how are we aided? He leads us. See, so the very definition of that word is in the very individual who has come to dwell in you. So see, God is interested in encouragement, so He gave you the great encourager internally, and He said, now I gave Him to you, and I expect you to be able to take what I gave you and give it to others. And particularly to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Encourage. Encourage. You know, don't discourage, encourage. That's what's really important. Encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ. As Isaiah closes out the first 39 chapters, and he talks about everything that's going to happen with Hezekiah, and well, not going to happen in your days, Hezekiah, but your children. He talks about things that are going to happen to him in Babylon. Chapter 40 opens up, and verse 1 says, comfort, oh comfort my people! As he's looking ahead to the future of Jerusalem and the kingdom. And he says, your iniquities, you're going to get double back in return. Not double judgment, but double back in return for what you did wrong. In other words, I'm going to bless you even doubly. And then it talks about this voice that's crying in the wilderness going to bring everything down to a level playing field, so to speak. And here comes your deliverer. That's the way it opens up, brethren. Comfort, oh comfort my people. So when the church is started, whoom, down comes the Holy Spirit. Yes! Comfort, oh comfort to my people. Will you comfort my people is what He wants to know. Will you encourage them? It's what we need, man. It's what I need. I know you need it. Just want you guys to think about that. You know, the prophets, you know, there's a great, great example, you know. We were talking about in our men's prayer meeting that we had, prayer breakfast, yesterday, and it was a good little group. It wasn't a real large group, but we had the ones that were there, and it was really, really encouraging. It went well. Really encouraging. Really encouraging. And, you know, when I first went, I got to be honest with you, I got to tell you, well, you know, I feel like I probably should go. And, you know, kind of was my attitude to begin with. I'm going to be honest with you guys, see. And so already I'm thinking, what, the wrong thing. Really? I get there, man, I'm super encouraged. I leave, I'm super encouraged. Man, guys are speaking openly, it's total honesty. I mean, it's really good. It was really good. Didn't you think, Josh, didn't you think it was really good? Yeah, Caleb, didn't you think so? You know, they were there, a couple guys were there. I mean, it was really good. So I'm thinking, you know, the question was raised by Mr. Migalski says, you know, we read things, we memorize things, we know what it says, but if we don't do anything, I mean, what good is it? It's like the old story, you know, I'm gonna run, I'm gonna be a runner. So you go get your track shoes, and get your sweats and your warm-ups, and you got, you know, your running shorts, and yeah, you're out there standing in front of the mirror, and your wife goes, when are you gonna run? Run? Oh, I just thought, look like I'm a runner, you know. You have no intention of doing it. You're not a runner, are you? You're not. See, if you read, you memorize, but you don't apply it, you're what James says. You're a hearer, you're not a doer. Oops, right? Not a good thing. So, we got to have an example. What does it look like to encourage? You know, we got lots of examples, but what's the best? Who comes to mind when you think of encouragement in the Scripture? Their name, I heard it. Somebody said it. Was it you, Luke? Somebody said it. Bar, son. That's what it means in the Hebrew. Bar, son. Nabas. That is a word that actually is a Hebrew word for prophet, but it has more of a communication in that word, Nabas, of a prophet who encourages or comforts. So that's how he ends up with the name of Barnabas. All right? Not Barabbas, but Barnabas. See, son of courage or encouragement. So what is Barnabas? Well, you know, he's mentioned 25 times or so in the New Testament. So if you want to know how to encourage, look. I'm going to tell you, here's three things you can remember about Barnabas. He's mentioned first in Acts chapter 4. His name was called Joseph, but he is so well known and so respected at the time that he mentions, or his name shows up in Acts 4, that the apostles have already changed his name. Sounds like something God would do. I'm going to give you a new name. I'll take it. Right? So they're calling him, instead of Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, no, he's now Barnabas. Son of encouragement. He shows up. And the first thing, well, here's the thing about Barnabas. He knows, he is aware. He's acutely aware. He's very aware of what's going on in the church. And he's the kind of guy that recognizes the need and he steps in and he fills it. And he's a guy that is an encourager. So early on, he sees that the church is getting its legs under it, getting ready to start going, right? What is it going to need? Well, to get this thing going, we're going to have some sort of, you know, resources. So I think I'll just donate what I've got. So he brings money. That's Acts 4. Acts 9, Saul of Tarsus gets converted, and everybody's afraid of him. Who's the guy that goes, hey, there's some momentum rolling in this thing. There's a guy, I already heard about him, I know what he's doing. This guy'd be great to feed into this flywheel of momentum. Whoop, I'm going to get Paul. Whoop, grabs Paul. So he's great with money. He's an encourager with money. Here's the money, boys. Right? That encourages. And he goes, hey, the momentum's flying. Here's Paul. Let's feed him into this machine and really watch this thing take off. And by the way, you know, he's from Cyprus, so he has a little experience, you suppose, with the Gentiles. Yeah. Go back and read in Acts chapter 11. When the word goes out to the Gentiles, guess who they send out? To encourage the people and cause great numbers to come to faith. It's in Acts 11. You know who it is? Yep, Barnabas. Son of encouragement. Money. Momentum. Hey, did Paul make a mistake or two before he became a Christian? How about a guy named John Mark? Remember John Mark? He went with him, Barnabas and him, and he kind of deserted and went home early. I don't know if he went, oh, more than I expected, I'm out of here. You know, I don't know. We don't have a lot of detail. So they get ready to go on another trip. Barnabas says, let's go get John Mark. And Paul, like, no way, he's a deserter. And so such a sharp disagreement arises that Paul takes Silas and off he goes. And Barnabas goes back and grabs John Mark and away they go. And at the end of the whole thing, at the end of 2 Timothy, Paul says, send me John Mark. Yeah, I thought he was no good. I thought he was a deserter, a coward. So what else did Barnabas do? He was great about encouraging with his money, properly placed at the proper time. All right. He was great about momentum. He was an encourager and thrown in to keep that flywheel of momentum going. And then he dealt with people that made mistakes really well, didn't he? He was a guy that went in there to encourage people that made mistakes. I believe in you. I'm your second chance man. I had a second chance man. Here, come with me. I'll introduce you to the apostles. Well, come with me. You know, is that the kind of person that you are? See, you want some examples? You want to know how to do this? That's how you do it. How are you when there's a need in the church, monetarily? I don't care if you give $5 or $500. Irrelevant. How are you with that? Are you ready to encourage and move the momentum of the church if it takes a little money? If somebody makes a mistake, you're going to be there and say, I believe in you. I believe in you. Hey man, even if Luke or I might not be so sure we can believe in you. Is there somebody out there that's going to come to you and say, I believe in you. I know you can make it. If you've ever discipled somebody that's come out of the world with baggage and any kind of addiction, you've gotten calls late at night. I ain't made for this. I just are. I have. I didn't say, I knew it. I knew the first sign of trouble. I knew what kind of ground you were when I cast the seed. I just knew it. What are you doing calling me? When you sober up, maybe I'll talk to you tomorrow. Don't call me at night again. Jesus, after 10 o'clock. Click. My wife will tell you, I was up 2-3 in the morning, not just for 5 minutes, talking to a brother or a sister through a problem, telling them all along, I believe in you. I believe in you. You can do this. You can make it. We have the tools available. You've been given the Holy Spirit. God says you can do it. I believe you can do it. I am not going to desert you. I'll help you all I can. Please help me help you by helping yourself. You know, these are the kind of things that an encourager does. Now, I'm not putting myself up as some kind of way of boasting. I'm saying, brethren, this is what you do. I don't think when the Scripture speaks about the great things that Barnabas did, that it's boasting in Barnabas. It's boasting in the Lord through Barnabas. That's all I'm telling you guys. So things are coming, and we need to be encouragers to one another. Brethren, we need to be encouragers. So look at Barnabas. Look at some of the passages. Get your concordance out. It's almost 8 o'clock, and I'm going to end on time tonight. All right? But get those, yes I am, get those concordances out. Let your yes be yes, and it's going to be yes. All right? Get them concordances out, electronic or the ones that you got that are printed, and look up that word. I'm trying to think if I wrote down the Strong's number. But I think it's like 3870 or, oh, I didn't write it down. Shame on me. Parakletos, parakaleo. Look it up. Check it out. Look at all the passages. 150 of them might take you an hour. Check them out. Encourage. When you encourage, you naturally build up. Just as you're also doing. You guys have been a real encouragement to me. Real encouragement. There's been others that have been really special encouragers to me. And one of them was Don Toole. Really was. There'd be so many things that he would send. Luke, same thing to Luke. He'd send Luke little messages whenever we'd preach. Teach, man, that was awesome, brother. Man, you just, what an encourager. He's a great guy. Nolan's a lot like that. Sandy's like that. If I get Tamina to talk a little more, I think she's like that. Yeah. I'm certain that Kendall is. I can't wait to see what kind of baby they're going to have. How about you guys? I'm hoping it's a really loud, you know, and where they got to deal with it. Oh, man. You know, because they're both so quiet and reserved. And that's great. That's great. Solid. Did you hear Kendall's prayer tonight? Solid. Man, I love that, Kendall. You're a deep guy. You guys are awesome. You're a great encouragement to me. I hope in some way I'm an encouragement to you. So, brethren, we're not destined for wrath, are we? We're destined for salvation. How do we make it? Encouragement. Encouragement. Not discouragement. Encouragement. Know who you are. Let's stand. It's 8 o'clock, Luke. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful that you first sought to encourage us by sending yourself in the form of your Spirit. You dwell in us. The tremendous encouragement we have that the Holy Spirit brings, marking us as belonging to you, that down payment, that pledge, the earnest money that you have given to each of us that are in Christ, that you have determined to redeem us on that last great day. That's what marks us as destined for salvation. So appreciative of that. Just pray that we would encourage one another to know who we are, to know you and who you have made us to be as your people, and to understand the eternal purpose and our part in it. So thankful again for this assembly and the way that it has encouraged me over the years, Lord. Just pray that we would continue to encourage one another to be steadfast and true. And particularly, we need to encourage one another to not forsake the assemblies. This is where we draw tremendous encouragement. So I'm so thankful for everybody that's here. Just pray your blessing upon them. Help us all to enjoy the remainder of the evening and a restful night's sleep, and allow us all to get home safely. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.